But sometimes the problem is that we can become out of position, that we can be in the wrong place doing the wrong thing, but sometimes even doing it with the right motives. But we can be in the wrong position. I remember, I think it was the World Cup, that when England got put out, one of the reasons they were blaming was Wayne Rooney. They said he was in the wrong position. That if he'd have been in the right position, then there'd been a chance that they maybe have got a bit further than they were. But one of the things that they jumped on straight away, that he wasn't in his best position. And I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you in the position where God wants you to be? Are you in the place where God wants you to be? Could you stand up right now and say, you know what? I am in the position where God wants me to be. I am flourishing in the position that God wants me to be. We talked about last week, the main scripture was in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. And as the handouts go around tonight, if everyone's got a handout, I'm going to be reading from it, and there's a few blank spaces. If you can fill them up going along, I'll mention them as I'm talking, as I'm teaching. I'll mention what the blankety blanks are. It's like, and you can fill them in. If you don't want to fill them in, then it's really entirely up to you tonight. But in Romans 12, I want to read from verse 22. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." And verse 2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Tonight, we're going to carry on where I left off last week. If you were here last week, I mentioned we had a couple of things that we talked about. We talked about the sacrifice, the living sacrifice. And one of the things that we said, if you're going to fulfill the call of God, if you're going to do God's will for your life, there's always going to be a sacrifice. There's always going to be a sacrifice that when we lay something down to do something for God, sometimes we need to give up some stuff. Sometimes we need to stop doing some stuff. And sometimes we need to even stop being involved in some stuff. But whatever it is, when you're doing God's will for your life, it's always going to take a sacrifice. We talked about laying down our lives for the Lord. We also talked about making ourselves available for God. One of the things that Pastor Paul always says, and he said it many a times from behind the pulpit, and he said it many times when he's teaching, he says there's no point switching the shower on and standing in the kitchen and expecting to get wet. You have to be where God wants you to be for you to be the best that God has called you to be. We also talked about whatever God's will for our life is, that He will accomplish it for our lives if we allow Him to. That God will never ever force us, that God will never ever, but God's not a bully. You have your part to play. You have got to lay down our stuff for God to accomplish His stuff through our lives. And if we live today faithfully serving the Lord, God will take care of the future and of course our present also. But how many know to accomplish God's will for our life, it's going to take faith? It's faith that pleases God. It says in Hebrews 11 verse 6 that it's impossible to please God without faith, because He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So one of the things to accomplish is faith. We trust the Lord, and that means believing what He has said. That means believing what He has spoken over our lives, that He promises to guide us and to direct us. So in the first blank, it says that for God's will to be accomplished, it's going to take, somebody shout out, it's going to take sacrifice. Amen. That for God's will to be accomplished, it's going to take sacrifice. Yeah, it's going to take faith, but we'll get to that. But it's going to take sacrifice. We also talked about not being conformed to the world. Because how many know that the world can distract you from doing what God wants you to do? The world can try and lure you and distract you and take you off the path and redirect you in a different route for where God wants you to do. But the Bible says we've not to be conformed to the world. The world wants us to do things its way. But how many know that Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said that I am the way, that I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one can come to the Father unless they come through the Son. See, the world will try and tell you its way is the right way, but how many know that the only way is Jesus' way? That's why we're here tonight, because we want to know the way which Jesus has it for our life, where he wants us to go and where he wants to position us. The Apostle Paul was transformed on the Damascus Road. It was on that road that Saul, who lived for the world, became Paul, who started to live for God. And each and every one of us, at some point in our walk, we will have that Damascus Road experience. We will have that memory stone that we can remember where God started to change your life, where God started to reveal himself, where God started to show himself, where God started to take us off the path that we were going on and place us on the path that he wants us to be on. Because how many know that God has a good path for our lives? Can somebody agree with me tonight that God has a good plan? But the world will try to offer you fame and fortune. It is a tendency to try and lure you off the path that God has you on. So tonight, it gets us to tonight's subject. I want us to look at about being transformed, and also I want us to look at the results of accomplishing God's will for our life. So the first one that I want to look at tonight, it says, we are to be transformed. Romans 12, verse 2 says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it says to transform something means to blank. To transform something means to, good answer, something means to change. See, there has to be a change in mindset to accomplish God's will for our life. There has to be a transformation. There has to be a change in the way that we think, a change in the way that we act, a change in the way that we see things. See, this statement recognizes that we all have a sinful nature that tries to blank. Does anybody know what the blank is in this one? A sinful nature that tries to shout it out. Deceive, I like that. Anyone able to get anything else? A sinful nature that tries to dominate. A sinful nature that tries to control. But what I want you to fill in the blank tonight, a sinful nature that tries to influence us. Because how many know that a sinful nature tries to influence us? Try to get the word out there. It tries to lure us and it tries to overwhelm us. But we are to be transformed for living a life of seeking worldly pleasure and self goals and a desire to one for living for the Lord. See, that's one of God's will for our life, that we live for him. That we don't live for self. We don't live for others, but we live for God. And living through God, we live for others. But we have to get the transformation correct. We have to get the mind shift correct. That before we can live for others, we need to live for God. We need to live for Christ. And it says here, instead of thinking that doing God's will is a blank, is a chore, is a good answer, but it's not the answer. I sound like a games contestant guy. God's will is a duty. It's a good answer, but it's not the correct answer. Instead of thinking that doing God's will is a burden, start thinking of how much a, come on somebody, how much of a, amen, correct, give him a prize. We start thinking of how much of a blessing is. How many know that Anto's just had a blessing? Amen. We'll see little Abby Grace sooner or later, amen. We've got the father and the granny sitting there tonight. And they've had a blessing. But sometimes, something that is transformed becomes something that is new. When something becomes transformed, it becomes new. And it says in the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." See, he's given us Paul's shown us stuff, and he's laying out stuff that if we've to live for God, that we've to live soberly, that we've to live righteously, and we've to live godly in this present world. Because how many know it's a perverse world out there? It's a world of darkness out there. But Jesus says that we are called to be the light, and also that we are called to be the salt. Light will shine, and salt will bring flavor to any situation. See, Apostle Paul had been transformed. He'd been transformed on that road. All of a sudden, there was a new path. There was a new direction. There was a new journey. And that's like many people in here tonight. You're on a new journey. You're on a new path. Or you're on a new mission. Because sometimes we can be saved for a little while, and God gives us another mission. God gives us another direction to go in. God gives us another thing that's going to wake us up and give us some energy and give us some joy. Because sometimes we can be at a certain place for so long that we just think it's normal. But when God's will comes into play in our lives, it gives us a release of life. How many people have had a release of life lately? That God's gave you a release of life that maybe you had to go round a little while to realize that where you were meant to be. That you had to go round a situation or go round and round and round. And all the time God was trying to get your attention to say, you know what, I want to give you a release of life. Because it says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, old become new." See, a Christian is a new creation in the Lord. The unsaved man has only carnal nature and cannot please the Lord. But because he does not believe in God nor worship him, but the saved man has a new nature, the very nature and dwelling of God, now he has the ability to serve the Lord and to overcome sin and the worldness. I want to let you know tonight that you know what? That greater is he that is in you that is in the world. But sometimes we don't get the full grasp of that. We don't get the full meaning of that. We don't get the full understanding of that. It says it in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. It says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you that is in the world." See, the believer can have the victory over sin because God blank. Because God lives in him. Anyone else get to any add that? Because God what? Abides in him. That's the one that I was looking for. Because God abides in him. Because God is living in you. And the Bible says that the same spirit that rose Christ from the grave, it dwells within you. So that doesn't matter. Whatever God wants you to do, he will give you the strength to accomplish it. Whatever God calls you to do, wherever God positions you, wherever God wants you to lay down your roots, he will give you the strength, because greater is he that is in you that is in the world. It doesn't matter what the task is. It doesn't matter what the ministry is. It doesn't matter what the job is. What matters is that God is living inside you. And wherever he positions you, he will give you the strength to accomplish that for your life. See, this transforming involves the renewing of our mind. How many people had to get their mind renewed? How many people are still getting their mind renewed? Sometimes our mind can become a dumping ground. It can become a place where rubbish just gets dumped. It can become like the local tip. Or is that just me? Our mind can get bombarded with so much different stuff. See, to renew something means to reestablish or give a blank, a fresh life. How many know that Jesus gives us a fresh life? That he gives us a reestablish or give a fresh life or blank. He gives us strength to something. It means to replace something that is of no longer value. Because how many know that sometimes the way that we think doesn't do us good? Many know that the way that we think doesn't please God sometimes. The way that we think is definitely not pleasing to God. Imagine if we were to speak out half the things that we thought. Imagine you were sitting in a company and you were to speak out the things that you were thinking. That you were in a place sometimes and all of a sudden, because we can be in a place sometimes and we can be thinking something else. Some of you might be thinking that right now. Please don't shout it out. I offend easy. No, but we can be in that place. We can be sitting in a group. We can be doing something. Then all of a sudden, we start getting thoughts. And their thoughts start playing in our mind. And it's like a dumping ground. But how many know that God wants us to shake it off? He wants us to shake it off. Clearly, when a person believes and receives Jesus as their Savior, their minds are and thoughts are given a new way to think. See, we have been given a new way to think. Thinking things of God. Because it's like the birds are always going to fly across your head, but you choose to allow them to land. You choose them and allow them to land in your head. Because sometimes they can land in your head and you ponder on that thing for too long. All of a sudden, there's like a nest in your head. Then all of a sudden, that little bird's laid an egg. And that little thought ends up into an action. And that little action ends up into a backslide. And that little action ends up in you getting further away from God, because God's will is that when that bird flies across your head, put your hat on and walk away. Put on your helmet of salvation. Put on your hat. Put it on. And if it lands on your head, shake it off. But the problem is we don't want to shake it off. Because sometimes we are thinking stuff that in the flesh, it makes us feel good. In the flesh, it makes sense. In the flesh, it sounds good. In the flesh, it would work. But how many know that in the spirit, living for Christ, a new creation with a new mind, we cannot entertain those thoughts no more. Because we're going to accomplish God's will for our life. When those thoughts come, we need to shake that puppy off our head. We need to shake that mindset off our head sometimes. Our mind can be a dumping ground sometimes. Always thinking, what's next? Trying to analyze every situation. Is there anybody in here that tries to analyze every situation? That tries to work it out. That tries to be two steps ahead of people. That tries to work it out themselves. Is there anybody in here? But we get bombarded. And when you go to your bed at night sometimes, it's like your whole body's on lockdown, but your mind's gone like a waltzer. Your head starts spinning like Wurzel Gummidge. If any of you can remember Wurzel Gummidge. Yeah, a couple of the ones over a certain age can. The younger ones a lot. Who is Wurzel Gummidge? YouTube it. Because that's what it can be like. We put our head. You've had a busy day. You've had a long day. You're tired. You're really, really tired. You've got something to do in the morning. You've got a busy day ahead. You've got exams. You've got this. You've got this. You've got that or there or this. And all of a sudden, you put your head in the pillow. Then this just becomes bombarded. Has anybody ever been like that? I want you to shout out some of the things that we can bombard our mind when we put our head in the pillow. Worry, that's a good one, worry. Money, hello, that's coming from an accountant. Kids, anyone else? Fears, anyone at the back, anyone else? Pardon? Hate, yeah, revenge. I don't know about you, but many a times I've lay in my bed and all of a sudden I've started revenging stuff. I've started planning stuff in my head. It's been bombarded, it's a dumping ground, and the only thing that's coming out of it is garbage. We can get like that sometimes. Worry, stress. Where's the finances coming from? Is God ever going to bless me a partner? Are my children going to be okay? Or we start planning things in our mind. Revenge. All of a sudden, sometimes we get the sexual stuff, the sexual thoughts. Then let's be honest, then all of a sudden we're in that place. Then our minds starts getting filthy. Our minds start getting filthy. All of a sudden, that brother or sister who served you at Tesco, you're starting to dress them in what you want to wear. Is there anybody ever done that in this place? Please tell me I'm not alone. Or there's somebody you saw. It may have been Asda or Morrison's. And it could have even been Waitrose. Wherever it was, sometimes we can be lying in our bed at night. If we're going to be honest, then all of a sudden that Mr. Right or Mrs. Right just comes to your head. And all of a sudden, your mind's bombarded. We've got to shake that stuff off. I love what it says in Philippians chapter 4, reading from verse 6 and 9. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And verse 7 says it so beautiful. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, not some understanding, all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ. In verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think such about things. Think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. See, if we start in that place and we're lying in there and our minds are getting, start thinking of things that are good. Start thinking of things that are God. Start thinking of things that are pure and things that are lovely and things that are admirable and things that are excellent and things that are praiseworthy. Then all of a sudden, that garbage goes away. That stuff leaves. And all of a sudden, there's a peace of God that passes all understanding. Then you wake up, you end up sleeping like a baby. You end up sleeping, you end up getting a good night's sleep. Because sometimes when you're lying there and your mind's getting bombarded and you're, what does God want me to do? Where does God want me to be? What's happening in my life? And we start thinking and analyzing and trying to work it out. Then our mind gets bombarded and all stuff, and we're trying to sleep, and our heads are gone and gone and gone and gone. But the Bible is clear. Start thinking on what is pure. Start thinking what is admirable. Start thinking about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, Paul says, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. See, God doesn't want our minds bombarded. He wants our minds pure so he can get our attention. He wants our minds pure so he can get a hold of us. Because sometimes he's trying to speak to us and our heads are that bombarded with different stuff. We miss what God is trying to say in the situation. We miss the lesson behind the lesson. Because how many know that there's a lesson behind the lesson? That God places us somewhere or God gets us doing something and God's trying to show us something. But if we approach it with the wrong mindset, if we approach it with the wrong way of thinking, if we approach it in the natural, you're never ever going to get what God is trying to show you in the supernatural. Because God wants your mind renewed. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to direct you. Because he has got such a great journey for you. He's got such a great walk for you. But you need your mind to be pure. He needs your mind to be clear. He needs that. It doesn't need that Sister Nelly used to say it when she used to teach the home, that kinky thinking. That's what she used to say. It's an American thing, the kinky thinking and everything. She used to go, hee, like you did. That kinky thinking, that warped thinking. But God wants the pure. He wants to be able to speak to you when you're in your bed. He wants to be able to show you stuff. He wants to be able to reveal stuff to you. He doesn't need to unravel all that stuff. Think what's right. Think what's pure. Think what's right. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. And what I want us to look at now is the next point. The result of presenting our lives to the Lord and God's will being accomplished in our lives. Good for time. It says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The last statement in verse 2 gives us the purpose and the principle God is revealing to us. The principle is that living a godly life by giving our lives to the Lord, by rejecting worldliness and letting God transform us, will be we accomplish God's will for our lives. See, this verse uses three words to describe this will of God that will be accomplished. And the first one it says is good. See, God is not an adjective, but rather a noun. Good is not an adjective, but rather a noun. It represents the state of manner and characteristics of something. See, good is what God is being perfect in all his ways. God's good will means it is to be desired. It is of the highest standard. It is mortally and spiritually right and beneficial to us. See, God wants us to live that good life. God wants us to live that life, like I said earlier, that pleases him. That life that's a desire to be everything for God. That desire, that hunger that, you know what, because before we get saved, we had a hunger for the world. We had a hunger for the things of the world. But God wants us to change that mindset, and he wants us to live that life that it's a hunger for him. It's a hunger for him that no matter what, that we want to fulfill everything that God has for our life. That God, he wants us to do that thing that is spiritual right and beneficial to us. How many know that God wants to bless us? How many people believe that God wants to bless your life? That God has the best for your life? That you ain't called by chance? That you ain't a mistake? That you ain't here by mistake, or you're here because you walked in the wrong car park? You were going to the Holiday Inn and you turned the wrong turn in? You're here because you desire God. You're here because you want everything that God has for your life. You're here because you know what? Yeah, nothing else can satisfy you apart from God. And there's something about being satisfied that brings a desire that makes you want to do anything that God wants you to do. There's a fulfillment knowing that God's will for your life is a life of worship. It's a life of serving him. It's a life of surrender. It's a life of sacrifice to accomplish God's will for our lives. But how many know it can get difficult sometimes? It can get tough sometimes. It can get hard sometimes. We can get put off sometimes. We maybe don't want to pay the price sometimes. We maybe don't want to really just step out right now. We maybe think that it's not our time to step out right now. But how many know that sometimes God needs to get alongside us and show us his good will for our life and show us that right thing that he wants, that thing that's going to be beneficial to us, that thing that's going to grow us, that thing that's going to enlarge our capacity, that thing that's going to take us to the next level. Because if you don't grow, you're just going to stay at the same place. And there is too many Christians that have stayed at the same place for too long. They've not allowed God to grow them in an area or a capacity. God has gifted you in a certain area. God has gave you a gift. God has deposited something in your life. He's revealed something to you. He's showed you something. He's given you something. Something that's going to be beneficial to you. But sometimes we don't want to take the challenge. But to accomplish God's will for our life, sometimes we're going to need to take the challenge. Sometimes we're going to need to say yes to God and no to ourselves. We're going to need to say yes to God and no to the world. We're going to say yes to God and no to our flesh. But the problem is sometimes we say yes to the flesh and no to God. And we never get God's will accomplished in our life. We stay stagnated. We stay in the same position, knowing we should be over there, but being happy staying here. God wants to challenge us. He wants us to be the best. He wants you to flourish wherever He places you. He wants you to go on and do great things. He wants you to be everything that He has called you to be. But sometimes we're going to need to step up to the plate. We're going to need to step up to the challenge. And the next one down, it says perfect. Perfect is that which is free from blank. Guilt. I like that one, John. Perfect is that which is free from. Pardon? Sin's a good one. Flaws? Pardon? Condemnation is good. What did somebody else say there? That's good. Anybody else? Shout out. Hashtag loud about it. It says perfect is that which is free from defect, stain, or sin. Perfect is that which is free from defect, stain, or sin. That which has all its parts complete, or which is not disproportionated. Applied to the will of God, it means that circumstances and relations of life. Galatians 5 verse 1, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. How many know that Christ has set you free for freedom? He set you free because He wants you to be free. God's will is for you to be free. God's will is for you not to be burdened again with the yoke of slavery, with the thing that weighs you down and stops you going forward. That life of freedom, so you can stand firm and you can move forward and you can accomplish everything that God has for your life. But the problem is that sometimes we can be in church and we're not free. You can be in prison without being in a prison. You can be bound without having handcuffs on. You can be tied up in this. You can be tied up in your old way, in your old thinking, in your old agenda, in your old things. And all the time that God is wanting you to be free. He wants you to be free because He wants you to flourish. He wants you to be free because, you know what, when you're bound, it's when you're at that place yourself and you know that you're bound. Sometimes we can come to church and we say the right things and we lift our hands and we speak the right and we do all that stuff, but really, really, we're no free. We're walking like prisoners, but we're not free. See, God's will for you is to be completely free so you can completely flourish in the area, in the place that He wants you to be. But you can never ever fulfill the call of God when there's something holding you back. It's like that dog in the back garden with the chain. You ever been in a back, well, none of you have probably been in the reason to go in a back garden, but in some back gardens, yeah, there's sometimes you get a dog with a chain. And that dog can only go so far and it gets pulled back because the chain is holding it back. It's not free. It can move around. It can go to different bits of the garden. It can do stuff. But when it tries to go over there, something pulls it back. And sometimes as Christians, we can be like that. We can come to church. We can give. We can worship. We can do that. But we come so far, then we get pulled back. Because there is something that is holding us back. There is something that is tight. There's something that has bound us. And sometimes that thing could be, it could be anything. It could be pride. It could be anger. It could be lust. It could be unforgiveness. It could be selfishness. It could be lust. It could be greed. It could be many different things. Many different people have got many different chains. But at the end of the day, God is not no respecter of no chain. God wants to break every chain in your life that can hold you back. Because sometimes we can come with the me, me, me mentality. It's all about me. And we can come and we can be like that. It's a me, me, me mentality. That's what the world is like now. It's a me, me, me. It'll suck you dry if you allow it. It'll suck you in if you allow it. But God wants you to be free, wants you to stand firm, and do not let yourself, do not put yourself in that position again. Do not put yourself in that place again. Do not put yourself in that situation again. It's like if you go up and clap a dog and it bites you. It's your own fault if it bites you the second time. Because why would you go and clap it again if it just bit you the first time? I ain't going to clap that dog again if it just bit me a minute ago. You're going to stay away from it. You're going to keep your distance because you know when you go there, something's going to happen. And that's what it can be like sometimes. It binds us back and holds us back in the chains because we're not completely free. But I believe that God wants to set every one of us free. That He doesn't want us being burdened again by that yoke of slavery. And the next one down is acceptable. Acceptable. This refers to that which is pleasing to God or which He will blank. Somebody shout out, please. This refers to that which will be pleasing to God or which He will accept. Good answer, but it's not the right answer. Approve. Amen. That's the one. He will approve it. This refers to which will be pleasing to God or which He will approve it. How many know that God's stamp is over your life? It involves the main duty of our salvation is to be separated from the world and expresses the way in which the duty may be performed. We are to live so as to ascertain and do the will of God. If all Christians would obey this, our faith would be everywhere honored. It would separate from the voices and the follies, the amusements of the world. Christ would be glorified if we all truly renewed our minds, that we'd lose the relish for such things and seeking only to do the will of God, that we'd not be slow to find it. I love what it says in John chapter 6, verse 37. It says, however, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject him. So in a nutshell tonight, God's will is simply that we live for him today, giving our life sacrificially to him, and he in turn gets to where he wants us to be and uses us as it pleases him. We are to pray, seeking God's will and making ourselves available. If we have the desire to teach or even be a pastor or a missionary, we should seek to determine if we have the God-given ability. Then we wait ready for God to open a door or means to use the talent. If it's God's will, the door will open. If it's not God's will, the door will not open. It means to use our God-given gifts. Finding the will of God is, like I said at the beginning, it's quite simply finding where God wants you to be. Living your life daily for the Lord. It comes as we obey God. That is God's will, that we obey Him, daily trusting in Him. We need to address our lives through self-examination, determining how we are living in according to the will of God, to the Word of God. If there is any sin or unfaithfulness in our lives, we are to confess it. And in repentance, turn to the Lord. We should not concern ourselves with seeking God's will in the sense of trying to know the future, but rather seek to obey God and there be in his will. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We need to realize that God really lets us know the future, and he has a reason for doing so. If we knew the future, it'd be a natural reaction to work towards accomplishing it. But God does not want us to accomplish his will for us in the flesh or even in human power, but rather being dependent on him. Let him bring about our wills in our life. Then what is accomplished will honor the Lord, and he will be able to use us to reach ours. I want to call up my three. I might call up three people. And I want to do a little illustration. Sorry, they're not coming to rob you. This represents the way that we come to the Lord, or the way that we can become. We want to be served. We want to be served. We want to be served. We want it our way. We don't want to sacrifice. We want people to sacrifice for us. We don't want to give up stuff. We want people to give up stuff for us. We don't want to lay things down. We want to pick things up. And it can become a selfishness. We can become selfish, me, 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 me. And there is no sacrifice in our life. We're not willing to give up those little things. We're not willing to give up those little... I love these cloths, by the way. We're not willing to give up stuff. And we get conformed to the way that the world is. That it's all about me. That it's all about me. That I'll do what I want to do when I want to do it. I'll step out when I'm ready to step out. I'll answer the call when I want to answer the call. I'll do this when I want to do this, because it's all about me. And we can be that way, that you know what, that the way the world does things is selfishness, with no self-control. We lose the self-control with no self-control. We don't want to do God's will for our life. We don't want to sacrifice to do God's will for our life. We don't want to lay down stuff to do God's will for our life. We're happy being conformed to the world. We're happy being conformed. We're happy the way that we're living. And all of a sudden, we can turn our backs on God. And that's what happens sometimes. We turn our backs on God. Then just like the Apostle Paul, his back was turned to God. He was on that road. He was on a journey. He was going to cause destruction. He had his agenda, he had his plan, he had his will. Then it says, suddenly a light came and knocked him off his horse. How many can thank Jesus that he knocked you off your horse? That prideful horse. That horse that was going in your direction, your way. That horse. Then all of a sudden, what tends to happen? But God's will is that we live a life of sacrifice. See, Apostle Paul started to live a life of sacrifice. He was no longer going to do the sacrifice, but he was now going to become the sacrifice. He was ready to lay down everything for God. God, what do you want me to do? God, where do you want me to be? Living for God and not living for the world. It's a life of transformation. It's a life of giving your best to God. That is God's will, giving your best to God. Yes, it is beyond you, because greater is he that is in you that is in the world. It is beyond you. That's why we need faith, because it's faith that keeps us going. And God's will can be found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. It says, you, my brothers and sisters, we are called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh, but rather serve one another humbly in love. God's perfect will for our life is that we become servants. That we become servants. That we no longer stop being selfish and we become servants. Where we start to look to the best of others. You are called to serve in whichever area that God places you in. We are called to serve one another. And in serving one another, you will find God's perfect will for your life. It's in that place when you're serving that you will find God's perfect will for your life. And it's in that serving that doors will open. Doors of opportunity. Doors of blessings. Let's stand to our feet, amen.